Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Football practice for the Nittany Lions getting underway on Friday. The way the schedule worked, they'll have another early morning workout coming up on Thursday. Then it's pro day, combine day, beginning about noon Thursday, and then spring practice begins on Friday. Head coach James Franklin, earlier today, discussing position changes.
Jordan Lucas is going from corner to safety, which I think you guys all know about. Amani Arouye is going to move from corner to safety. Jack Hafner is moving from running back to linebacker, and I'll add a note on that in a minute. And Adam Geiger is moving from running back to safety. The reason we're doing that with those two guys came in and met with me. I met with every single player on the team, had individual meetings. Those guys want to be special teams terrors for us this year. They want to have a huge role in special teams. Well, it's hard to do that when you're never tackling. So those guys will go over to be able to work all the individual parts of practice with the safeties, with the linebackers, and we're hoping that's going to allow them to have a bigger role on special teams. They're already big, strong, athletic guys, so we're excited about that. And then the last thing is events. Obviously, we've got the pro day noon this Thursday in the Lash weight room. It would start. We're talking about granting the media limited access, and Chris will follow up with you guys later on that. And we're also going to have some discussions about spring ball. I think continue to develop relationships with you guys and provide some access for you, because I know you guys need to do your jobs, is something that we want to do. We want to help you guys do your job. We want to provide access. And the only thing I would ask is, by us providing access, is that you guys follow our policies and procedures and don't contact our players or our coaches without going through Chris and our communication staff. It's hard for us to do that and ask you guys to do your job if we're not providing access. So I think that's a fair compromise, and we'll be in touch more about that moving forward. So I will shut up. I've talked enough, but I hope I gave you guys a few nuggets that help you, and open it up to any questions that you guys might have.
We'll go to the phone lines and start with Derek Lavars from the Wilkes-Barre Time-Leader.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, you talked about moving Jordan Lucas to safety. How much it was his skill set and how much it was numbers, and you guys just having some young corners that were able to step up right away?
I think it's a combination of all those things you said. I think long-term, what we try to do is we try to do things that are not only best for Penn State and our football program specifically, but also in these guys' long-term potential. I think Jordan's a guy who could play corner here and could probably play corner at the next level as well, but I think he has a chance to maybe be special at safety. It's also back to the philosophy that you guys have heard me talk about before, that I think it's easier to play a freshman at corner or a freshman at wide receiver than it would be to play a freshman at safety, at linebacker, or defensive line. The closer you are to the ball, the harder it is to get on the field early. So we feel good about our young talent at corner. We're losing some experience at safety, and you usually need to have pretty good depth at safety with the types of things you're asking those guys to do. So it's a combination of all those factors.
Mark Wilgenrich, Allentown Morning Call.
Hi, James. How are you today?
Good, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks. Excuse me. Mike Hall, you mentioned as being a guy, the challenge to replace him. Who do you have in mind, and what do you want to see from the guys who you have in mind to replace him?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of options there. You know, I think Wortman's an option. Big, strong, physical guy who moves very, very well. He's got experience now playing the position. You'd like to have a Mike linebacker with a guy who's played enough football. I think the fact that these guys actually watched Mike Hull for the last couple of years is valuable as well, just how the guys practice and how he prepared. But he's an option for us. Wooten is an option for us. He's played the position, done some things. The thing that we need from Gary is we need him to be more verbal on the field, but he's done some really nice things. Klein is a guy that we're hoping is going to be a pleasant surprise. You know, you talk to our players, he's unbelievably respected on our team as a leader. You talk about his toughness, injuries that he's overcome, and right now he is running and moving and lifting and is tested. His testing numbers were really good. So he's another option. So that gives you three older guys. Jack Hafner is a guy that we have at that position as well. I also think, you know, Kabinda and Reeder, there could be some flexibility there as well. So, you know, they're the guys that I would say are going to the immediate guys that are going to move in there and try to take a hold of that job.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record.
Hey, good afternoon, James.
Hey, Frank.
Hi. You mentioned the tight ends. Adam Brenneman's coming back. What will he be able to do anything this spring? And just what looking how important is it to getting him back, because you didn't, you know, have him on the field at all last year?
Yeah, I think from a lot of different reasons. You know, getting Adam back, you're talking about a guy who had a bunch of success early on in his career. He's had some injuries. He's had some setbacks. In some ways, you know, you probably would have liked to redshirt him his first year, but now the fact that we were able to redshirt him last year and still have some success is good. He's got a year to get healthy, to get bigger and stronger and get more confident. He's a guy that I think that has the size and the mentality that can be a complete tight end, a guy that can put his hand in the dirt and come off and block at the line of scrimmage, also has the ability to be a threat in the passing game, has the size to do those things as well, the ball skills. But probably most importantly, even through this whole year, as trying as it was on him, he is one of the most positive, optimistic, completely 100% bought in leaders that we have. He's been great. He's been great for us as coaches. He's been great with our team and our players. He's always got a smile on his face. He's so appreciative of Penn State. He's so appreciative of the opportunities that he has here. And I just, that alone, we're really, really excited about. So, you know, he's got a big opportunity. We're going to have to be smart, because, you know, whenever you take a guy that hasn't done a whole lot, you can't expect to just throw him back in and be full go. But I think, you know, he's as close to 100% as he's been in a long time, and feels really good. He made the comment to me yesterday. He was in my office that, you know, he feels as good as he's felt since his junior year of high school. And that's the last time he felt that good. So, you know, we're really, really excited about having him back for a multitude of reasons.
Joe Giuliano, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Not connected.
Hey, Joe.
Joe's not connected.
Okay. Bye, Joe.
Mike Gross, Lancaster Newspapers.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Can you talk a little bit about your offensive line situation in contrast from a year ago and even going into spring last year, where it was hard to even have a practice with the numbers you had? And just talk about how that sense of it has gotten better.
Yeah, you know, the fact that we're going to have a two deep of scholarship players is exciting. You know, we had a bunch of guys that have had some experience last year. I think at this point, we had two returning starters in the beginning of spring ball. And then, as we all know, we lost Deef in box. We really had one returning player on the offensive line for most of spring ball, and had a bunch of new faces in there with a new system. So, it's completely different. We got five or six guys now that have started a game. I remember a high school coach coming up to me last year during spring ball and talking about how he'd been to some other, you know, colleges, regional colleges, and watched their practice and then watched ours, and you know, he had an interesting expression on his face. You know, so there's nobody that's happier about this group returning and the strides that they've made than Mr. and Mrs. Hackenberg. So, you know, I'm excited about them. I know Herb's excited about working with them. I know they're so much more confident mentally. They're so much more confident physically, and all those things. So, you know, as you guys have heard me say before, not only does it affect and help with Hack's continued development, and the, you know, our offense's development, but also now your second team cornerback, your second team quarterback, your second team receivers, your second team tight end and running backs. It helps with their development. It helps with the defense's development, because now the second team defense has got a chance to legitimately be threatened. So, you know, it stunts everybody's development when you're struggling up front, let alone with a second team, with a first team as well. So we're real pleased, and those guys have been awesome. You know, I could go on and on about a number of these guys, the improvement they've made and how dramatic it's been, and almost to a man, almost to every single guy there, has really made some really good strides in so many different areas. So I'm excited to see them go out and compete. You know, they got a great challenge, which again goes back to the iron sharpens iron. The fact that they're going to go up against Zettel, AJ Johnson, and Nassib every single day at practice, you know, that's only going to make them better. That's only going to make them better, because they're going to be challenged. You know, having a 327-pound dancing bear like A.J. Johnson inside that you're dealing with, and then the quickness and the explosion of Zettel, you know, that's going to challenge those guys. And Nassib, I think, had a sneaky, quiet, really, really successful year. If you go back and really study his tape, he played really, really well for us, going back and watching the tape on him. Audra, was that number accurate with what you got? Because I know as soon as I said the number, the weight, you looked right down and checked. You're double checking me. What was that, 325? 324. He had two cheeseburgers this afternoon.
Yeah. Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune.
Hi, James. How are you doing?
Good, Donnie. How are you?
Very well. How much are you looking forward to the competition at running back with Akil and some of the younger guys who you brought in last year, kind of trying to build some depth there?
Yeah, I think Akil, you know, obviously the way the season ended with him, I think he's done some nice things. Excited to see what Scott Johnson and Allen are going to be able to do. Scott and Allen redshirting, and Johnson is one of our biggest, strongest, fastest guys on our team. Now we got to see if it's going to translate. Obviously, Thomas is a guy that we're really excited about as well, but is going to be somewhat limited during the spring. But all those guys, you know, redshirted except for Johnson last year. So we're excited to see what they're going to be able to do. They kind of all are different. Thomas is the big physical guy. Allen is the quick scat back. And Scott is kind of a combination of the two. But we're going to need those guys to step up. And like you're mentioning, there's some guys coming in as well that are going to, you know, be able to create some challenges and competition during camp. But, you know, we'll wait till camp to discuss these things, and we're excited about, you know, the guys that we have here right now and what they're going to be able to bring to the table. I know they're hungry.
Chris Adamski, Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Not connected.
Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror.
Good afternoon, James. How are you?
Good, Corey. How are you?
You discussed the analytics part a little bit earlier. I'm just curious, are there a couple of metrics that you really like to look at or buy into, and how much during your coaching career, you know, compared to your playing career, have you seen the emphasis on the analytics change?
You know, I think coaches have always studied these things, whether it's turnovers or whether it's explosive plays or whatever it may be. I think what you've seen over the last 5 years is this really explode. and people taking it to a whole nother level. You know, when I worked for the Green Bay Packers, I remember it used to be this guy, and I didn't know what he did, and we'd be sitting there in a staff meeting, and he'd come in and just slide a piece of paper to the head coach and walk out, and I didn't really know at first who the guy was and what his role was, but that's what he was. He was crunching numbers all the time and coming up with different statistics, each week and throughout the season that were going to be the biggest determining factors in being successful, winning and losing. And it's exploded. So, you know, to me, it's another piece of information. You've seen it in baseball. It's now, you know, going to other sports like basketball and football as well. I think it's still early in the process. But to me, it's another piece of information. For us, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. You know, you look at it as true statistics that have a major factor, in success. You look at it in helping a head coach manage a game. Of when you should be going for things and when you should be aggressive and different field zones and different down and distance situations and things like that. So as you're doing your off-season studies on game management and things like that, reading books and talking to people and going back and studying all your situations and also looking at what analytics say, how you should be handling situations. That's one of the analytics companies that we brought in, is a company that talks about, you know, decision making and it's interesting. You talk to different people. Some people are trying to follow it blindly, and some people are using it as another piece of information. So, we just want to explore all these things we possibly can. You look at the sports science, the GPS monitors, the heart rate monitors, all these things that are going on as well. We're looking at those things. Obviously, like most technologies, there's a hefty price tag that go with these things. But we want to make sure that we're looking for every advantage possible, to maximize our players and our program's opportunity to be successful.
We'll now go into the room. Please raise your hand. We have Mike Holders on either side of the room.
Hey, James.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I like your St. Patrick's Day mint green shirt.
Some of us are into it. Me, Flounders, a few others.
Love
hey,
it.
When you look
Flounders.
At the, yeah. When you look at the left tackle position, how do you address that going into the spring? Is that something where you intend to maybe move somebody, or can you count on a redshirt or an early enrollee to maybe make an impact there?
I think we're going to have to. We don't really have any other choice. I think the guys that we're kind of looking at right now are Hall, Palmer, Sorrell, and Jenkins. That doesn't mean that Nelson couldn't go do that as well. But right now you're looking at Hall, Palmer, Sorrell, and Jenkins. Sorrell's a guy that was a little bit limited in morning workouts and missed some time. Really excited about him. But there are four guys that we feel really good about. As you guys all know how I feel about Hall. Love the guy. I think when we got the job last year, he was a 238-pound tight end. And I think if you look at the Audra, I should probably just ask Audra, I think he's about 294 pounds right now.
292.
I've been corrected. The guy's done everything we've asked him to do, and he's still moving well and athletic. So we're excited about the competition there. But it's going to be a young player or an inexperienced player or a new player to our program to take that job, unless one of the other right tackles come on, a Brosnan, a Bay, a Schumann, and that allows us to move Nelson over, or one of those left tackles that we're starting with moves to right tackle. Basically, we're going to try to find the four best tackles we can and put them in the best positions to help our team.
James, how are you?
Awesome. How are you?
Great, thanks. What does the defensive end position look like behind Nassib? And can you expand upon, you said he had a sneaky good season. Why did you think that?
Well, Nassib just he's Mr. Consistent. He does everything right. He's extremely strong. He's extremely athletic. Comes from an unbelievably athletic family. He's got the work ethic. He's got the mentality. He's got the intelligence. I think he's a pre-med major, doing extremely well. But we're excited about him. He's also a guy who's close to 270 pounds. What's exciting about our defensive ends as big as they are, they still look skinny, and they're moving better. So all their pro agility and all their 40 times went down, and they all put on between 12 and 15 pounds. So, you know, you look at Nassib, you look at Cothran, you look at Brown. We're excited about all of those guys. You know, Cothran's a guy who's about 260 pounds, looks beautiful. Brown is a guy who played running back in high school. He's almost 260 pounds now. You got Sickles, you got Schwann. Again, he was a guy who's big, strong, athletic, tests extremely well. You know, so they're the guys right now. I would say you got Nassib, Cothran, and Brown. You got Sickles and Schwann. And then we got two young guys, Eikenberry and Castagna as well. But, you know, right now we got five guys that are all over, I think, 255 pounds, that all power cleaned, I think, 335 pounds or more. The thing we're lacking there is inexperience. But I'd also make a comparison with them with another team in this conference that I won't mention specifically who they are, but you look at programs, and to me, our DNs are exactly what you want our program to be like in a year or two, where, yes, they are new starters, but they've played now and they've sat behind players or played a limited role behind players for 2 years. That's what you want. When you have a young player playing for the first time, he's redshirted, he's played a limited role behind a guy, and then come in now as a redshirt sophomore or junior, and is now jumping into the fold. There's a big difference between that being your inexperience compared to your inexperience being redshirt freshman and true freshman playing for you.
Head football coach James Franklin, his press conference. Open lines in a moment. We head to the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break and then get into the news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors is having their 67th annual March New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from the largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $10,000. An F-150 4x4 Super Cab are priced from just $29,944. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years. A new F-150 is sold every 42 seconds. Choose from over 50 of the hot-selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to as low as $19,965. SMC has 2015 seven-passenger four-wheel drive Explorers reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year. Hurry into the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and get a great deal on a new Ford during Sunbury Motors' 67th annual new Ford truck sale. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915. Hurry before someone buys your new truck.
Pentela Data's fiber-rich network is everywhere you are, combining the bandwidth you need with the quality of service and security you deserve.
So whether you're conferencing in
or taking out, getting a medical exam, or taking a school exam,
you can feel confident knowing one of the region's largest privately owned fiber optic networks
is behind the services you use every day.
In business,
banking,
healthcare, and more.
It's all possible with the next generation network from Pentela Data.
You may not know it, but your company's always under attack from hackers, spammers, and other criminals.
Sooner or later, without Pentela Data's DDoS mitigation, your network's bound to fail.
But our protection works off-site, watching, waiting, and catching thousands of attacks in real time.
Keeping bad data away from your servers.
So even if there's a battle happening in the cloud or here on the ground, it's business as usual.
It's all possible with the next generation network from Pentela Data.
Susquehanna Valley RV.
Now serving you for 32 years.
Take off.
For exciting new places.
Take off.
For the wide open spaces.
A new adventure is waiting for you. Friends to make. Great things to do.
There's an
exciting new world waiting for you. At Susquehanna Valley RV.
A camper's best friend. We'll make you feel so right at home here.
The Susquehanna Valley West.
We'll do our best to make your day.
In the RV of your dreams.
We'll make it easy to find adventure.
So get up, and get away.
There's an exciting
522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg.
A camper's best friend.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Wednesday on This Morning, America's First News. Republicans have an opportunity to run away with the national security issue, but is the youngest person in the Senate the right guy for the job? Also, armchair quarterbacking the parliament elections in Israel and how the results will affect the U.S. And why you should pick against 34-0 Kentucky in your NCAA tournament pool. Wednesday on This Morning, America's First News. Join us for This Morning, America's First News. Weekday mornings at 5 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Where Freeburg, Mount Carmel, and Catawissa turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Air Force vet to plead not guilty. AccuWeather says partly cloudy, windy, and colder tonight. And good afternoon. I'm Cody Jade, WKOK News. The attorney for a U.S. Air Force veteran says his client will plead not guilty to charges that he traveled to Syria to join the Islamic State group. A grand jury indicted Tayrod Nathan Webster Pugh of Neptune, New Jersey, on charges of attempting to provide material support to a terrorist group and obstruction of justice. Prosecutors say he tried to travel from Egypt to Turkey to ultimately cross the border into Syria. He is due to appear tomorrow in federal court in New York City. A Penn State University fraternity is being suspended for a year as police investigate allegations that members posted photos of nude and semi-clad women on a private Facebook account. The National Executive Director of Kappa Delta Rho told the Penn State chapter in a letter Tuesday it must reorganize and is banned from most activities for the near future. The chapter can appeal the decision. There is an artistic showcase this month at State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver's office on Arch Street in Sunbury. The artwork of local school students is on display. It's part of a Welcome to Spring initiative at the office for the past 5 years. She says there are over 550 pieces of art this year. When she took office 5 years ago, the walls in her office were bare, so she decided to showcase local art from students in her district.
And you know, when I ran, I said that this was not my office. This was the constituents of the 108th office, so this kind of gives them that ownership I'm looking for them to have.
Residents are welcome to stop by the office over the next month to see the artwork. A reception was held last evening to kick off the art show. A fund has been set up to financially assist a firefighter seriously injured while battling a fire Monday in Mount Carmel. The fund is for James Reed Sr., who is in critical condition at Lehigh Valley Burn Unit. Reed was pulled from one of 7 homes involved in a fire Monday in the 200 block of Walnut Street. To donate to the Reed Fund, you can go to www.ucaring.com and search James Reed Sr. Members of American Hose and Chemical Company set up the authorized account. Yesterday's fire has been ruled accidental and electrical in nature. 5 families were left homeless following the blaze. AccuWeather says partly cloudy, windy, and cold tonight, a low 23, then partly sunny, windy, and cold tomorrow, a high 44. Tomorrow night, breezy in the evening, otherwise partly cloudy, a low 25. A high up to 45 Thursday with mostly sunny skies, and then we could see rain and snow possible Friday with a high 38. Right now, 50 degrees in Sunbury, 51 degrees in Sealands Grove. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. Back to the Steve Jones Show after this.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Prepare now for spring. With warm weather on its way, do you dream about home improvements? Like a backyard oasis, or maybe a special vacation to an exotic place? At Mifflinburg Bank & Trust, home equity loans make dreams a reality. We'll listen to you, work together, and discuss the options to find the best fit for you to accomplish your dreams. So bring your desires into any one of our six locations, and we'll find the best plan to make your dream a reality. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust is your community's trusted financial resource. Find us at mbtc.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Come see what Mifflinburg Bank can do. Mifflinburg Bank and Trust. Leave your future to us. See what Mifflinburg Bank can do. Because we're the bank that works for you. Yeah, we're the bank that works for you.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK Sunrise. Wednesday morning, we're going to hear from folks who are organizing the Union County Historical Society's You're Kidding, Aren't You? It's a game show format fundraising event April 12th. We'll talk to Jeanette Lasansky and Bruce Teeple about the event that is called You're Kidding, Aren't You? It's going to be happening at the Campus Theater. Again, it is a fundraiser, and it is on Wednesday's WKOK Sunrise, 6 to 8:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. It's open line time between now and the top of the hour. We've already talked about Penguins hockey today, and I hope you got a lot out of hearing James Franklin's press conference. With the Nittany Lion football team going through one more early morning workout on Thursday, then Thursday at about noon will be pro day. They'll start with the weights and then transition over to Luba Hall for the rest of the combine workout on pro day. And then Friday, Penn State begins its spring practice, 15 of them, with the 15th being the blue-white game April 18th in Beaver Stadium. Admission and parking are free, and the scrimmage on April 18th will start at 4 o'clock. So any questions you had about that, as to what you heard from James Franklin, your comments or thoughts as to what he said, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Chris Borland, who certainly played a fair amount of games against Penn State in his career at Wisconsin, is a guy that a lot of people, for example, compared Mike Hall to in his entry into the NFL. A lot of people said, you know, Mike Hall reminds us of Chris Borland. Well, Chris Borland made a surprising decision late last night that he has decided to retire after just 1 year in the NFL. And he's citing the fact that he's concerned about head trauma. Now, this, like any story, because of his youth, because he has only played one season, people are overreacting, in my opinion, as to his decision to step away. I think every decision that's made is not a trend-setting decision. It is a decision that's on an individual case-by-case basis. And one thing that Chris Borland, I mean, he's played in the NFL now. He got a year under his belt. 10, 20, 30 years from now, I think he's hoping that the decision he's made is one that he has no regrets about. And that's the most important part in all of this, is that he made the decision about his own personal welfare moving forward in his life. It's not a statement. It's not a trend-setting move. It's not as if he called up everybody and said, look, I'm leading the pack, follow me, here we go. He made an individual decision that he is concerned about the shots he's taken over time, and he's concerned about head trauma. Chris Borland is not a soft football player by any stretch of the imagination. Anybody here at Penn State that watched him play at Wisconsin knows that he is a tough, hard-nosed, stick-his-head-in-there, yes, football player. He's the definition of a football player, Chris Borland is. And to his credit, is a good enough athlete, covers the pass fairly well, and is really tough against the run. And this is not a soft player by any means. He's quite the opposite. And the fact that he has concerns and has made a personal decision moving forward is something that I respect his decision moving forward, but I don't want to make it more than that. I know we've had lawsuits against the NFL dealing with head trauma. I understand that. But this is a player that at this particular moment has made this decision, And it's not as if there are suddenly 30 guys coming out and saying, I'm not playing anymore. We're like, Chris, we're not worried about it. That we're worried about head trauma. That's not what's happening here. And I think we have to respect, I know I deeply respect his individual decision. He has to do what's best for his life. Well, that's what he's done here. To make it out more than that means that you have an agenda. See? See what's happening in the NFL? See how rough football is? That's not what this decision is. This is a personal, individual decision by one player. And everyone has to make that decision. Parents have to make that decision about their children, about whether to put them into the game at an early age or not. Parents have to make that decision about, hey, look, mom, dad, I'd like to try out for the 7th, 8th grade team. I want to try out for the 9th grade team. And then everyone makes the decision together about that. And then you go to college if you're really good, like a Chris Borland. And then if you're really good, you get drafted in the NFL. And at that point, it becomes a professional decision as to what you want to do or not want to do. He made a professional decision. He decided no, he does not want to push forward with his NFL career. Thus, he announced his retirement. Again, because he's a rookie, I think a lot of things come into play because of his youth. And, you know, why walk away now? Well, that's his decision as to why to walk away now. That's very much his decision. And that's to his credit, I mean, this is what he wants to do. Askia Booker, get this one. I said this one earlier. And it was a decision not to play in the CBI with his team. He's a senior. He's going to get his degree. And he's decided 17 points a game. They say he's sore and so forth after a long season. But he says he's not going to play for his team in the CBI. Don't quite get the decision. I'd have to be around the team and around him to know why, but that's what he decided to do. And of course, the tournament starts tonight. Hampton against Manhattan. And, of course, you have BYU against Ole Miss this evening. Ole Miss was one of the final four teams in the at-large pool. They had to play tonight. You have to put BYU into a, if they're going to play first four Tuesday, because then they have to play Thursday, Saturday. They can't play in the Friday-Sunday bracket. They won't play on Sundays. That's one of the issues with BYU becoming a full-time member of a conference. A lot of people have looked at the Big 12 and said, well, the Big 12 could expand. And in expanding it, one of the easy choices would be a major team like BYU, which has won a national championship in college football, which has been very good in college basketball for a long time. Salt Lake City, Provo, certainly a market the Big 12 wouldn't mind getting into television-wise. But one of the issues is not with the basketball-football part. One of the issues is if you get into the conference, you're in the conference in all sports. And a lot of those sports play on Sundays, and that's one of the issues with inviting BYU to be in your conference. And something that if the Big 12 wanted to go in that direction, they'd have to work that part out. We'll see. But they will play tonight. BYU is very, very good. They didn't play obviously playing the West Coast Conference is not going to be the greatest schedule for you on the planet, but they did win at Gonzaga. They played very, very well. Haas is a really good player. And Andy Kennedy's team down at Ole Miss is very athletic. So that'll be a good first four game and the second one tonight. Now, the first one, of course, is going to be Hampton against Manhattan. That's one thing I'll say about the first four in a situation like this. The team that wins the game, Hampton and Manhattan, can forever say they won an NCAA tournament game. This is the NCAA tournament. They're in. Now, what happens next? Well, you get Kentucky next. How can you beat Kentucky? How? Well, part of the formula is going to have to be, you're going to have to somehow match them as much as you can, length for length up front, as athletic as Willie. And look, they got lucky this year in some ways, because the Harrison twins and Willie Cauley-Stein, all three decided not to opt for the NBA draft last year. They opted to come back. They all could have gone to the draft. They all would have been first-round picks. And they opted to come back in combination with Karl Anthony Towns and that freshman class. And so the combination of those two events has allowed them to really step up and have a great team with a lot of depth on it. A lot of depth. Now, how do you beat them? I mentioned matching them length for length. That's why I've mentioned Wisconsin before. Yeah, Arizona did struggle a little bit. Tarzewski's a big kid up front, but he needs more help than that. And I also think part of the formula is you have to have a team that has some proficiency at hitting the three-point shot. Because I think it's going to take between 10 and 15 threes in a game to beat them. That's why I've mentioned Villanova frequently. The bottom line is Wisconsin's one of those rare teams that can put 5 3-point shooters on the floor, and then they bring another one in Duye Dukin off the bench. Dukin may be 6'9", but Duye hits 3-point shots. And after slumping, and Dukin was slumping when they played at the Jordan Center, when I watched him at the United Center over the weekend, he wasn't slumping. He was back. Now, it was fun for him. His dad's a scout for the Chicago Bulls, so he knows, obviously, the United Center very well. But that's a guy they bring off the bench. Will they get Trey Jackson back? I don't know. He didn't do much. He was in street clothes the entire time in Chicago. I mean, he would help them depth-wise. But Bronson Koenig is playing at a very, very high level. But I look at Wisconsin. They can hit the three-point shot with great proficiency, and they have 5 guys on the floor and 1 guy off the bench that can hit it. They get Jackson back. That's 7 guys. And you have 8 guys on Villanova that can hit it, 6 of them hitting 37% or better. To me, that's part of the formula as to what it's going to take to beat Kentucky. That said, I'm not enamored with Arkansas of the SEC. I know they deserve to be in the tournament. I also do know that Georgia deserves to be in the tournament, but they don't light me up either going in. Kentucky will cruise the opening weekend. There's nothing there in their path that really slows them down the opening weekend. Probably nothing in the Sweet 16 slows them down. Now, then we'll see what happens when they get to the Elite Eight. But there are 2 things that Kentucky needs to fight. 2 key ones. They need to fight A, the opponent, and B, they have to fight themselves. You're saying, what do you mean fight themselves? Well, they need to fight themselves because they need to make sure that they don't walk into a game overconfident and suddenly realize they've got to flip the switch. Because it's not as easy as anybody thinks it is to flip the switch. You have to fight human nature of being overconfident or not respecting the other guy. They're the best team. I said a month ago they'd go 40-0. There's nothing here based on draw that I see. But if you're asking me which team can beat them, I just explained 2 teams that I think have the basis, the foundation as to how they play to beat them. And remember, last year, the Kentucky team, without Karl Anthony Towns last year, without him, obviously, he's still in high school, they needed a Harrison shot at the wire to beat Wisconsin. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Bob Schoen, the general manager of Blaze Alexander Ford, Route 45 in Lewisburg. And for almost 6 years, you've heard us say that we're the lowest price guaranteed. We just don't say it, we mean it at Blaze Alexander Ford. When you're in the market for a new used vehicle, keep in mind that Blaze Alexander Ford currently has over $10 million of new and used vehicle inventory on our lot. Go to blazealexanderford.com and search our new and used inventory, and you'll find our prices are the lowest price guaranteed. We're currently taking over $8,000 off F-150 trucks, over $4,200 off 15 Ford Escapes, and every other vehicle that we have on our lot is discounted to the lowest price around. We're also the lowest price guaranteed in service, where we are now the home of the 995 oil change and buy three tires, get one free every day. So when you want to save thousands on that next vehicle, the place to go when you want the lowest price guaranteed is BlazeAlexanderFord.com.
995 oil change up to 5 quarts diesel excluded.
I'm Chris Wald. Since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. The radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches.
So guys, if you'd like to get similar results, try Andro 400, the safe, inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 866-546-1955. 866-546-1955.
How fast are new Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are new Allegra gel caps?
10 more lawns to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gives you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms in just 1 hour. 2 times faster than Claritin, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
New Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster. Nothing's stronger. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
Have you heard the news? TCBY's grand opening celebration is this Saturday at the Susquehanna Valley Mall. Stop by from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. for free yogurt and enter to win exciting prizes. Get creative with your TCBY treat. Choose from 10 delicious flavors and over 40 tasty toppings like nuts, fruit, candy, and more. Join in the fun this Saturday at the Susquehanna Valley Mall and you could win the grand prize. Free yogurt every day for a whole year. That's right. Free yogurt every day for a whole year. See you this Saturday at TCBY.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You get people who love radio because radio is the purest form of what we do in the media. I speak to you, you can hear me, you can call, email, tweet. If I say something, then you envision it. You put it in your mind. That's the power of radio. And to listen to play-by-play, that's where you get people's love of a sport and an announcer.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Like Dan Patrick, spot on there. Well, I think that the ability to communicate, talk with you, you call into the show, we discuss it. I think we're going to have Jeff Byers on tomorrow to talk about the NCAA Wrestling Championship, too, speaking of which. But it's the great form of communication radio, without question. And play-by-play, yeah, it's... theater of the mind. And you try to paint pictures, obviously using words to do so. Can you picture where the ball is? Can you envision the game as it's happening? Speaking of which, Bucknell will play at Temple tomorrow night. Eagle 107, Doug Birdsong, painting his pictures from the Leocora Center in Philadelphia. It's a 1-8 matchup in the NIT in the opening round. And the last time Bucknell was in, they went to Arizona and they beat Sean Miller's team at the McHale Center, and then Second round loss to Nevada up in Reno. It's interesting that when you look at the tournament, let's take the NIT first. The NIT, all 32 teams, as I said yesterday, they all have one thing in common. What's the one thing? All 32 of them are entering the game on a loss. A lot of this is going to be about motivation. Can you, after a disappointment, motivate yourself to get yourself in gear to play this game? And it's the team that can do that first is the one that has the best shot. Because all 32 are coming in off a loss. All 32 of them. Some of them have the disappointment. Now, keep in mind Bucknell. Bucknell disappointed not winning the Patriot. But they've also had over a week to get over it. Temple had the disappointment 47 hours ago. And it appears that Wyoming's what knocked them out. So that's what the NIT is about to start with. Once you get through round one, usually chalk settles in the NIT, and here's the reason. Once you win, and now all 16 teams all have something in common, they've all won, including the favorites, if they've been able to survive the opening round. And now they're engaged in the tournament, and they feel good about themselves again. That's why you see chalk usually after the first round advance in the NIT. As for the NCAA tournament, a lot of the same thing. You have 32 teams that are going in feeling great about themselves. They won automatic bids to get in. But the other 36, same story. All 36 of them are going into the tournament off a loss. And that's something to remember. In terms of the emotional state going in, yeah, you feel good about it, but at the same time, those are some of the dynamics. All 32 in the NIT going in off a loss, and you have 36 out of 68 going into the NCAA's off a loss. All starts tonight, Hampton, Manhattan. Looking forward to it. Followed by Ole Miss, BYU. That should be a very good game tonight. All in Dayton. I know a lot of people have been critical of the first four. People are critical of tournaments, of the conference tournaments. Let me point out one quick thing for those who are critical of conference tournaments. You know who loves them? The players. They love conference tournaments. All right, tomorrow, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, Greg Brown, Pirates Radio Network from Bradenton. And then I believe we're going to go to St. Louis tomorrow and get Jeff Byers and the NCAA Wrestling Championships. It's all coming up on tomorrow's show. I hope you enjoyed James Franklin's press conference today on spring football. And also, Steve Colby joining us from the Penguins Radio Network. Talk about the NHL season to this point. Our thanks to Sarah Bartlett, as always. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow, 3 to 5. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.